This is ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie sports leader, and this is the Laker Hockey Show. For the next hour, Laker head coach Damon Whitten joins the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, for the weekly coaches show. Got questions for Coach Whitten? Tweet them to me at cornerpocket422. Now, here's Bill and Damon on ESPN 1400.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome on a Tuesday night. A little technical issue or two here before we get on the air tonight, but hey, we're okay. We've got it done. It's Bill Crawford along with Matt Pocket. We're in studio. Damon Whitten's on the phone with us tonight, and Mitch Oliver's going to be joining us in the second half of the show. Anyway, we'll keep this going. Damon, two of the weirdest games we've ever seen. We were just talking about that a few seconds ago. A 5-4 win on Saturday, a 4-3 loss in overtime on Sunday. Both games overtime. And Ashton Calder wins the first one with 3 seconds left in the overtime. And we lose the second one after Northern scored a goal that was disallowed. And we're missing Mittens, Kybel, and Bodone. And we make it a pretty competitive weekend anyway and wind up with 3 points.
Yeah, a couple other guys out, you know, that obviously, you know, not quite as important as those guys you mentioned who are our key guys. So strange times and kind of some strange games in some ways, just dealing with the COVID pause and coming out of that. And I think I got the chance to say pregame Sunday, you know, how it takes a team, and I'm not talking about the players on the ice, but the staff and the people around the program to operate anytime, but certainly in times like this. So I want to make sure I, you know, thank and just talk about the job that Mike York and Zach Sizek did, along with Mike Guggen in terms of the hockey preparation, you know, support staff-wise. Patrick Sarny, just, you know, unbelievable what he's done, handling COVID testing and interpretations and coming out of it. Taylor Brown, our strength and conditioning coach, same thing. You know, we're relying on so much on those guys for their medical expertise and, you know, rest, recovery, and how do we prepare coming off a long pause. You know, the Weston Young, he gets help from Ethan Ritzman, Dan Kinnear. So I think the staff just deserves a tremendous kudos for having the team ready to play. And, you know, weren't quite sure what to expect. And I think all things considered, with some key guys out coming off a long pause, you know, it was not a bad job. I thought the guys showed a lot of guts and gumption to play through some challenging times and some fatigue, and you know, earned a good win on the first night, and then, you know, obviously lost in overtime there the second night, and you know, but a great comeback late. So I think the staff, along with the players, you know, first and foremost, just deserve a tremendous kudos for approaching it the way they did and to come out and put such a great effort forward.
Yeah. Yeah, both those hockey games, Lakers trail by 2 goals late in the game and come back to tie it up, send it into overtime. And in fact, on Sunday, the second game, it was almost miraculous. We score with 1:01 remaining in regulation. Will Rydell, who, by the way, is defenseman of the week in the WCHA for his good weekend, scores a huge goal. And then he assists on another one that ties the hockey game. As Pete Violette got credit for it, he put it in off Vincent DeMay's skate, but it didn't matter to us. 12 seconds remaining in regulation to tie it, and I thought, wow, if we had fans in this building, the place would be going crazy right now, and I think the momentum would have carried us. And as it was, I mean, I thought we had the better chances in the overtime. We had Hampus Erickson and Yuki Miura. Yuki shot it over the crossbar, Ashton Calder. And the kid came up big for them. I'll give their goaltender DiMatteo credit. He played pretty well.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, Northern's been searching for some help there, and it looks like they certainly, you know, he's only been there a week or two, and, you know, his first minutes and start, and he did a great job. You know, we put a lot of rubber on him, and he held us to one until that late comeback there. But a lot of credit to our guys for sticking with, you know, our game and then not showing panic and then not quitting or backing off. So I thought it was great job that way. You know, I think along with Will's Player of the Week, you know, award is just, he deserves further kudos. You know, Lucas Kybel didn't play. There's a guy in Lucas that plays, you know, probably 23 to 26 minutes a night. So you lose, you know, Lucas, and then all of a sudden Will, who probably plays that same amount anyway, you know, he picks up another 4 to 5 minutes. So I thought he was a real warrior, eating huge minutes, playing all situations, and then having a big impact on the game. So I think it's a very well-deserved kudos for his league nomination. But a great job execution for our guys late. You know, we kind of had a power play group out plus one for that first, really that same group. But they held it in for a long, long time. And then Will finally, you know, walked laterally and found a seeing eye puck to the net that, you know, got us the first one. And then Pete, a little payback. Two of their goals went in off our play. So I don't feel all that bad that Pete Viette was able to bank that goal in. And so Pete did a good job. We knew time was running low, and he whipped it to the net. Ashton Calder was actually sitting there back door all alone. Had it gotten through, he would have a chance to grab that puck and pot it in an empty net. But it went off the heels of the defenseman, much like their first goal on their power play. It went off our defenseman back post there and in. So those balanced out a little bit there. But, you know, a lot of positives and in a very tough situation. Short bench, you know, tired bodies with guys, you know, on quarantine. You know, obviously, you know, the guys are stuck in their apartments and their houses. They're trying to work out a little bit in their living rooms and maybe go for a walk, socially distance on their own. But there was fatigue, and guys had to fight through that. And again, I can't fault the effort of the Laker players. I thought guys played really hard, and I thought some guys, you know, you look at Benny Posa, you know, you talk about take advantage of opportunities. Benny Posa hasn't played a ton. You know, he gets a chance with Louis Badon out, some other guys not available. And, you know, he goes in and does a great job. He makes a big impact on the power play. And now Benny's going to be part of that playing rotation and part of that power play for the foreseeable future. Can't get complacent. You got to keep earning it and keep playing hard. But a real, real good job by Benny Posa to take advantage of the opportunity to go in and play a bigger role in bigger minutes.
Yeah, Benny Posa wound up with a goal and an assist, 2 points on the weekend. I thought he did a good job, too. It's going to give you a little option there. He's a big body. He can turn and get to the net. And, you know, he's inexperienced. With a little bit of experience there, he'll turn and make those plays a little bit better. I thought Hampus Erickson did that really well. 3-4 times on the power play where he turned and made a great play. Got robbed a couple times, missed the net a couple of others. But he was pretty consistent with his effort in around that goal.
Yeah, definitely an area, you know, the way Northern Michigan kills. And again, that's part of that preparation. You know, Mike York took over both groups and kind of doubled the prep work on the power play. And, you know, that low play option was down there for both Benny and Hampus, who were playing in that position. And that both guys did a good job on that drop step and attacking down low and created some offense for us. So, you know, there was some positives that way as well off a group that's, you know, been challenging for us. But Benny Posa becomes a great option. I thought he was really good net front and keeping his hands free and protecting his hands. Certainly did a great job taking the goalie's eyes away and screening. And, you know, that's a skill to understand shooting lanes and how to screen goaltenders. And Benny did a really good job on that. So we're looking forward to kind of getting more time with him to help him in some areas and work on some of those power play skills and using some of his natural abilities to grow.
Yeah, I haven't seen a series in recent memory where you're down two goals late in the hockey game and you score two to tie it and all the excitement there. And then on Sunday, they get a goal from Vanderbeck, who would have been his third goal of the hockey game, and he wound up scoring three as it was. But it didn't count because Newhouse had made a illegal pass. And that was so obvious to me that Newhouse, he literally hiked the ball, the puck between his legs to Vanderbeck, who took it up the ice and scored. And it took them 5 minutes looking at the replay to figure out. I think they were looking to see if Nordquist touched the puck because Nordy was right there, but he did not touch it.
Yeah, you know, it seemed like an easy call right away, and so it was a little bit confusing as to what happened there, but ultimately they got it right. And, you know, I think I'll use this to talk about both goaltenders. You know, I think both guys, you know, played really well overall. They both probably had a goal or two that – you know, with more experience and more, you know, just development time that we would want them to have or that they will want back or they'll make now that they're gaining experience there. But I thought Seth Eisley on Saturday night, you know, they outgrade-A'd us. We haven't been outgrade-A very often this year, but Saturday night they did. You know, they did a good job taking advantage of, you know, our layoff and missing some key guys, and we gave up 14 grade A's. So I think Seth had to be really sharp. He gave up an early goal, which is, you know, one of those longer range goals that, you know, can really throw you off. But I thought he responded really well and made some key saves. And then Ethan, you know, didn't have a few less great A's against. But he had some really tough breaks that he had to fight through. And that was, again, I think it was the first or second goal, but it, well, the first goal off our defenseman and in, and no chance of him backdoor off our own player. And I think their second goal went off our defenseman and changed angle on a little bit of a longer shot. And then the game winner, you know, he got struck in the face. His helmet came off. It probably should have been a whistle by rule. It should have been a dead play. And, you know, it's very unfortunate that it doesn't get blown dead and, you know, give up game winner. So, you know, really, really tough and weird circumstances for Ethan to fight through. But again, I thought he did a really good job and kept us in that game and battled through some of those bounces and breaks to really show us what he can do and what he's going to be for us. So, you know, don't fault the goaltenders. I thought they both did a good job and they gained some really valuable experience. And, you know, we're gonna call their numbers again at some point here. So we'll look to keep them building and improving.
Yeah, it's actually probably a good thing at this point. It gives them an opportunity to play, whereas Merrick's is probably going to take that job for the most part this season. But he's out, so they got to step in. And I thought they did a good job, too. And I was going to talk about the game-winning goal on Sunday. It definitely knocked the headgear. It certainly left him in a position where he was vulnerable. I don't know that it knocked it off, but it knocked it out of position. And that was quite a shot by Vanderbeck. He can shoot the puck, and he rifled that thing. It hit the goaltender, Ethan Langenegger, right in the face mask, and then Vanderbeck found the rebound down at Ethan's feet and put it in the net.
Yeah, you know, and we had a defenseman that didn't box out well enough, so, you know, there's part of that as well. Like, you know, we had an opportunity to, after Vanderbeck, who does shoot the puck extremely well, you know, we should have had a defenseman that got into him and disrupted him in his path to the net for that rebound. So, you know, there's some fault there as well. But like you said, you know, that's a whistle. His bucket, his helmet came unbuckled, and, you know, there's a dangerous situation there, and it should have been a whistle, and most times it would have been. And it was just so bang, bang, they weren't able to call it. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It's a break we didn't earn and a bounce we didn't earn. But, again, I thought guys played hard, and, you know, we wanted to make sure we did a better job against their top line on Sunday. I think they had, you know, quite a few points on Saturday night, and they've been on quite a tear, that Walker and Nardi line and Gontos. And so I thought we did a lot better job on the next night of shutting down that line, but then Vanderbeck shows up and has a big night as well. So they needed some secondary scoring to show up, and they got it.
Yeah, I thought they played well, too. I mean, it looked like an evenly matched series, really, in all the games with Northern, other than the first one, 4-1 Laker victory up at Marquette. They've been tight. I mean, it was three overtime games. You're not going to get a whole lot tighter than that, and they win one of them. The Lakers do, though, retain that Capo Cup, the battle between the two UP rivals, and you pick that up again, and Will Rydell, and rightfully so, was presented with that trophy at the end of the game on Sunday.
Yeah, nice to retain that, you know, to keep that here in Sault Ste. Marie. We certainly feel like it belongs here and want to keep that here, and it's you know, a growing rivalry and obviously a historic and great rivalry in UP, and it's kind of, you know, ratcheting back up in some ways. So it was big. That's certainly one of the goals. You know, we have great hockey traditions across the UP and a lot of pride in these programs and a lot of great histories and traditions amongst all three schools. And that Capo Cup is a big part of it. So we have put a lot of emphasis on that. And, you know, we got to finish a UP rivalry as well with Michigan Tech down the road here. But, you know, we wanted to keep that here in Sault Ste. Marie and glad our guys did that. And, you know, I think going back to the Northern series, you know, that Barry Event Center, we haven't had a lot of success. I don't think our seniors had won a game in Barry yet. Sort of go in there and, you know, win a couple games and win the series was important to this class and important to our team. So, you know, it's a good season series for us. I would have loved to have our full allotment of players and not coming off a break. I think it would have looked a little bit different, but that's where the way the game is certainly this year with the disruptions and the limited rosters and things like that. So you just got to find ways to play through that.
The obvious question, and we'll wait till the second portion of our show tonight to ask it, concerns the players who were out, who's going to be able to come back this weekend. You're going to go to Bowling Green. That's a seven-hour drive down the highway, I-75. Shouldn't be any problem for you there, but that's a tough place to play, and they're coming off losses that they did not like much with Minnesota State, so they're going to be ready to play, and and they're going to be tough at home this weekend. I wanted to ask you before we do go into the break, though, about the pause. A lot of people are unclear as to what happened there. Some players tested positive. Others on staff may have as well. But one way or the other, you had to shut it down. You weren't out there practicing every day, which is why when we talk about we needed to get the rust off and get the legs back and all that sort of thing, that happened between last Monday and then Saturday when you played.
Yeah, I know, starting from that Houghton series, obviously, I think most of our fans know we were in Houghton ready to play when that pause came due to some positive tests, as you mentioned. And then, you know, it shuffled through a little bit, not a huge outbreak, but you know, some positives came up through it. And depending who your roommates are with or where you live or, you know, if you practice or if you've had it in the past, and we have had a few guys that have had it previously, you know, determined, you know, if you were shut down or your length of shutdown. So I think we had about 3 to 4 guys that had had it at one point and could practice through it because they're now immune or, you know, in that 90-day window where you don't have to pause. But you're right. Like I said, you know, this was full of quarantine. So our players – you know, had to stay in their apartments and houses, and you know, Taylor Brown, our strength conditioning coach, did a great job of kind of being nimble and shifting programming to find ways where they could, you know, work out in their living room with their backpacks on or body weight or whatever the case may be. But that doesn't replicate a practice session or a gym session. So it's a really unique thing. And like you said, so we were off for a long time. Guys just got on the ice for 2 or 3 days before that series, and you don't get your game legs back, your game timing back that quickly. So there was some rust, and you know, we saw that a little bit. But again, I thought guys did a really good job to push and battle through it.
We're going to take a break. It's our first one of three that we'll have tonight in the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten. Matt Pocket's here, but I think our technical issues have taken him out for the evening. But we will be back with the second portion of our show right after this on ESPN 1400.
Looking for a good pre-owned car, SUV, or truck to get you through the coming winter? See the great selection of used vehicles on the lot now at Sioux Motors. More than 25 SUVs and 20 or more cars and trucks are available for the huge year-end savings program. Lots of Escapes priced to sell, Explorers, Edges, F-150s, and there are 9 sedans on the lot. If you want new wheels this winter, see the sales staff at Sioux Motors today. Sioux Motors on 3 Mile across from Walmart in the Michigan Sioux.
MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307. Serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
Leeds Sports Center is moving, and that means huge discounts store-wide. Make sure to stop in. The final day at the current location is Saturday, February 13th. Leeds is digging deeper and adding new items to the floor daily. With 6 weeks of winter left, now is the perfect time to take advantage of 50% savings on toddler and kids' mitts and gloves. Kids' boots are 30 to 50% off. Grab 40% off Frog Togs rain gear and Terramar base layers, too. Knit hats are just $10, and gauntlet gloves and mittens are now just $14.95 a pair. Smart wool and darn tough socks are 20% off, and 50 pairs have just been added to the sale bin and an additional 20% savings. Shop an extensive selection of parts and tools, manuals and books. Looking for something in particular? Just ask. Leitz has deep discounts on fixtures and office supplies, desks, shelves and tires, display cases and racks. Don't be afraid to ask Terry and the crew any questions you may have. They're continuing to pull fresh items and add them to the sale. If something isn't available now, it may be soon. The Leitz moving sale is in full swing. Leitz is open Tuesday to Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday from 10 to 4 on the I-75 Business Spur. Inventory is moving fast. Stop in soon for the best selection.
It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Got questions for the coach? Tweet them at me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford and Damon Witten.
All right, we're back for the second segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night, live on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten, the head coach of the Lakers. Mitch Oliver is supposed to join us late in the show today. We're hoping that still happens. Laker defenseman, That's a young guy, Damon, who's played pretty well. He's been in 10 games now. He got off to a slower start because he was coming off injury, et cetera. But he's got two goals, his first two of the career at Lake Superior State. Last year he had 8 assists in all the games that he played. But he's got 2 goals, 2 assists right now, and had another goal against Northern on the power play this past weekend.
Yeah, when you think back, if people remember back, you know, Mitch had a tough injury and was very limited late last year, missed some games, didn't play at 100%, and the different ways to try to avoid surgery and let it heal did not work, unfortunately, and so Mitch had to undergo surgery this fall, and that kept him out, and has been a frustrating journey for him to kind of get back to health and lose a summer of training and things like that. So, he's still kind of rounding into full game form and full 100% recovery. But you see the value there. You know, Mitch was a big goal scorer in junior hockey and a very dangerous shooting threat from the offensive blue line. And, that's part of what we really liked about his game and thought he would bring to our team. So it's nice to see him get rewarded there a little bit and probably get a little confidence going to get those goals there. But a real nice power play goal there, just moving laterally and kind of a seeing eye puck through some traffic. And, that's, we need that from Mitch. We need him to be a shooting threat and a scoring option for us, both 5-on-5 and on the power play. And it's a skill set that he brings to our team. So it was nice to see Mitch rewarded on the weekend.
While we're talking about performances too, we mentioned Eisley and Langenegger were both pretty solid, especially for young guys who haven't been tested that much. They got great opportunity. That was Seth's first start ever. I think it was Langenegger's first start too, but he's a freshman. You might expect that. And we talked about Benny Posa, a goal and an assist on the weekend, and played pretty well for you. You were pretty happy with him. A couple other guys we haven't mentioned that I wanted to mention. I think Miro Mook has been outstanding this year. He's done a great job. He had 3 assists on the weekend. This kid's playing at the +7 right now, which ties Lucas Kybel for the top plus-minus on this hockey team. And Chase Gamlin had a good weekend with a couple of assists, including a really good play on that Nordquist goal on Sunday that put us on the board at 1-1. I thought those two guys were really good.
Yeah, and Chase was a big guy setting up Posa's goal as well. His line had established a good forecheck and possession that led to the Posa goal and then made the great pass on the Nordquist goal as well. So a very effective weekend for Gam in his line. And I thought, I had to watch him home on Saturday, which is a very challenging thing to do. But I thought watching online, as many fans did, that line provided a ton of energy with Ambrosio, I believe it was Posa and Gamlin. And I thought they were one of our more effective line on Saturday as well. So really nice to see Chase get rewarded that way and continue to play, at a high level. So I think I'm missing your first part, Bill. What was your first part of that question?
Well, Mooka, I think he's been really good. He's a big body. He can shoot the puck. He's really good on that face-off play in the offensive zone where he's the man who's the trigger man on it and Mans wins the draw. I thought he was really good. He was a +3 on the weekend. He had 3 assists, and he's +7 for the season.
Yeah, playing really well. And you know what? We didn't actually think he'd play. Miro had bad luck in terms of when he was exposed and when his quarantine. So he was the last guy out from his first batch out of the pause. And so, he didn't join the team until very late in the week. And because of that, we thought about, not playing him because we just didn't know, how ready he would be with only, I think, 1 day on the ice. But because he is such a good player, he's in great shape and having the year he's had, and I give Mike and Zach a lot of credit. I was able to watch practices back. We tape a lot of our practices and I'd have the staff send them to me, but you can't see everything in practice. And, Mike and Zach and Mike Guggen were all very adamant that they felt like Miro stepped in that first day and played second day, and so they did a good job of advocating that, even though he hasn't been back very much, that we need him in the lineup, and good for him that he went out and backed them up and showed why he's so important for us. So a very good weekend for Miro on very short turnaround, and I think he'll keep playing at a high level, and then we're going to need guys, everybody, but guys like Miro to really play. We'll get some news in the next couple days probably of some makeup games. We're going to have a lot of hockey coming up, and our depth is going to be tested. We're going to need guys ready to play.
Yeah, that was to be the big question here tonight on this show, is what are we going to do here? We talked about it during our broadcasts on the weekend, and it's pretty tough. I mean, I don't know that you even know what the answer would be. There's been a lot of talk that perhaps the Michigan Tech series we played non-conference would be counted as conference. I don't think Joe Sean and the Tech people would buy that one, but that would be a way around some of these problems, because we're looking at a schedule right now that has us playing at Bowling Green this coming weekend for two games. Then we play at home against Alabama Huntsville on the 19th and 20th, and we play Ferris State on the 26th of February here, and then down at Ferris State on the 27th, the Saturday. So we're going to have a home-and-home series going there. And then you've got March 5th and 6th, which is supposed to be the last season, weekend of the regular season. I guess you could plug in maybe Bemidji or Tech there, but where do you play the other one? You know, do you play Tech in between? I don't know. Where's this going?
They lost. Yeah, no, those are already scheduled for those. You know, that's one of the big challenges, is they lost games early, and they used that 5-6 date to make up those dates. So, unfortunately, our two COVID league disruptions already have games scheduled March 5-6, and that's making it really challenging. You know, interesting, Hockey East, like you mentioned at the start of your question or comment, you know, they made a decision a few weeks back to say that any game played could or would be used in league standings. You know, so Hockey East has tackled that issue by using previously played games, and so some leagues have looked at that. It hasn't been much of a talking point in our league to this point. I think if further disruptions come in these next week or two, then it's probably going to have to really be looked at, because you know, it's going to be really challenging to make up games with four, you know, half of our league already are using March 5-6 to make up games. So if the wrong teams go down, it's not really possible to do that. So again, we'll have some news coming out shortly of the Bemidji series that's pretty much finalized and made up. Still working through details on the Tech series and having some challenges with that. They're coming off a long stretch of games right now, and literally playing right now in a makeup game at Ferris State. You know, so we've got some work to do on that series as well, and then exploring, you know, moving one of the Ferris games to that March 5-6 weekend, and just, you know, trying to create some rest and recovery. You know, I think it's really important that we keep our players' safety in mind through this. You know, coming off a pause and then loading up games and, you know, going into playoffs, you know, we've got to make sure that we're protecting our student athletes and being careful and wise with our decisions there. But certainly a challenge, and, you know, no matter how it goes down, we're going to be playing a lot of hockey in a short period of time. And, you know, we've started to try to make that adjustment. You know, we were only on the ice for about 30 minutes today. We were off yesterday with the Saturday-Sunday series. You know, tomorrow will be another 30 minutes or so, because, again, we're going to be like pro team at this point. There's going to be a lot of hockey and a very disrupted schedule hockey where it's almost always Friday, Saturday. And, you know, we're going to do our best to make sure, yes, we're prepared, but that we're also fresh and healthy and, you know, looking out for the guys as much as we can through this these rescheduling events. So look for news shortly. And some of that is done, like I said, and, you know, there'll be some news coming out over the next day or two, I would imagine.
Yeah, and obviously these are going to have to be midweek series, and that's going to be tough.
Correct.
I can't imagine trying to play a weekend series. Let's say you play Bowling Green this weekend and then trying to play Tuesday, Wednesday or something at Bemidji State. That's probably not what's going to happen. I would think you're coming off a home series to go to Bemidji and play something on a Tuesday, Wednesday or a Wednesday, Thursday, but then you still got to turn around and play again right away. So you're talking
playing
5-6 games in 7-8 days. So that's going to be tough.
It's going to be like nothing we've seen in college hockey, you know, for sure. And that's, again, part of just, you know, what the environment we're in and dealing with. But again, it has to be done in a safe manner and in a responsible manner. And so we're just trying to work with all parties to do that. And, you know, again, I like our depth, you know, so we will have to rely on that. I think you saw that Bill probably, you know, calling the game on Saturday and Sunday. You know, I thought Zach and Mike did a really good job of, you know, and part of that was matchup dependent. We were able to kind of match up the lines we wanted against Northern Michigan, but basically rolled lines through that game. And same thing Sunday, you know, I think about 5-8 minutes into the third period, we shortened the bench a little bit. But certainly by design, coming off the pause, we knew we'd have to, you know, really distribute minutes fairly evenly and keep guys fresh. And I think that's going to continue to be really important as we're making up games and, you know, playing a lot of games in a short period of time. So our depth, you know, will be tested, and our guys will have to be ready to play. Like Benny Posta, when your number's called, your opportunity comes, you have to respond and take advantage of that opportunity, and guys will get that chance.
Yeah, certainly everybody's going to get an opportunity here. They almost have to. And what's the situation with Keibel, Mittens, and Bodone now? Are they going to come to the end of a quarantine here where they can be back in the lineup at Bowling Green?
Well, we're hopeful. It'll be a little bit like the Miro Muka situation that, you know, we're going to have to make a decision. Are they ready to go back in? And, you know, are they cleared to go back in? So it's going to be close. You know, obviously we got to travel down there so that you lose a day at home and kind of waiting and evaluating. Obviously we know, you know, very well what those upperclassmen bring. You know, Merrick's has been a starter for a long time. Lucas, our captain, very valuable guy. We've been on, you know, very good player. So, you know, if they're close like Miro was, then you'll see them inserted. You know, if they don't get the clearance, then we'll have to continue to play, you know, without some key guys and ask for guys to step up and replace them.
Yeah, there's not much you can do about it at this point except wait and see what happens. And same situation, the big question we get every week is when can fans start going back to games? I don't think we know the answer to that question either. I know we kind of threw it out there last week that if you could put 25% in, that would be a really good crowd at Lake Superior State. But Dave Pateson, the athletic director, told me after the game on Saturday, there's no way we can do that. We've been told at the very most, we might be able to put 250 people in the building. And, you know, that's not very many. At this point, you're almost better off to go the rest of the season the way we have.
Yeah, you know, and I guess I've tried to work on that as best I can, and I haven't paid as much attention to the state mandates we fall under. My understanding is, like David said, we're still at 250 for fixed seating capacity in arenas. Unfortunately, I can tell you that our guys are very excited to get to Bowling Green. Obviously, it's a big test and a really well-coached team and a talented team. But we're going to have parents in the stands, and I'm really excited for our players that you know, their moms and dads can come see them, especially our seniors. You know, even though some of them are European and won't have that option, but you know, I can only imagine. I've got young children, but you know, they've invested their whole lives to chasing their kids around the country and around the state to watch them play, and it's such a big part of their lives. And you know, I just really feel for them losing the senior seasons or any season to watch their kids play. So a lot of excitement from our players and our parents that they'll be able to go into Bowling Green and be there. So that's going to be, you know, nice to look up and have your parents in the building finally, and you know, we'll enjoy that part of it, and look forward to a great week in hockey that way.
Yeah, that's good news, and that's because Bowling Green is in a situation that's a little bit different than the state of Michigan being in Ohio.
A different state, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about BG and about the challenge coming up this weekend in the third portion of our show. We're going to take a break here right now, though, and we'll be back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
When it comes to you and your family's health, you want the best care possible. Arfstrom Pharmacy, your locally owned HealthMart pharmacy, is here to help. The caring and knowledgeable staff takes the time to get to know their customers, understand their needs, and help them on a path to better health. From prescription drugs to medical equipment and supplies, they are able to meet your needs. Arfstrom Pharmacy offers a prescription savings club plan. Save on over 300 prescription medications, some as little as $4 for a 30-day supply or $10 for a 90-day supply. Club members will also enjoy big savings on other generic brand drugs, too. With so many drugs covered by this plan, you could be paying a lot less for your prescription medications in the months ahead. Also, free delivery of prescription drugs within the city limits and a prescription drug pickup service at the War Memorial Community Care Clinic, Kinchlow. Call us for details at 632-9661. Arfstrom Pharmacy and Arfstrom Medical Equipment and Supplies. A lifetime of service in the Eastern UP at the corner of Ashman and Spruce Street in the heart of downtown Sioux, Michigan. Health Mart. Caring for you and about you.
For Delius Hyundai, proving why they are the ones to trust for your next vehicle, bringing home three Best of the EUP Awards, winning the Best Service Department, Best Used Cars, and Best Salesperson with Sally Van Leeuwen. If you are thinking of getting a new or used vehicle, stop up and see the trusted staff of Fernelius Hyundai today at 2988 Ashman Street, where all social distancing and safety precautions are being observed. Or shop from the safety of your home by going to their website, and in four easy steps, you can purchase your next vehicle from Fernelius Hyundai. Just go to FerneliusHyundai.com. That's FerneliusHyundai.com. Fernelius Hyundai, earning the trust of the EUP one sale at a time.
Buffalo Wild Wings wants to help you get through the work week. And Tuesdays and Thursdays might just be the worst days. That's why they've created Wing Tuesdays and Boneless Thursdays with a buy one, get one free offer. Let's crush this week together with Wing Tuesdays and Boneless Thursdays at the Sault Ste. Marie Buffalo Wild Wings.
You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Tweet your questions for Laker head coach Damon Whitten to me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford.
All right, we're back for the third segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night. Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten. Normally we'd have Matt Pocket chiming in here and there, but we've got technical issues that keep him from being part of the show tonight other than to make sure we stay on the air, and we appreciate that. And he would add to this program as well. We've got Bowling Green this weekend, Damon. You're on the road. It's going to be tough enough. That's always a difficult place to play. They're a much better team at home than they are on the road. And they've got some outstanding players. And one of the big advantages they've got on the entire league right now is they've played 22 hockey games, more than anybody. In fact, they may have played more games than anybody in the country. And that gives you a leg up. They got, I think we've played 14, so that gives them, eight games on us?
Yeah, eight more games under their belts, and they also lead the country in wins. So it is. It's a very talented team and, very dangerous. They can score in bunches, and they've got some, tremendous forward group in particular that are dangerous 5-on-5 and just tremendous on the power play. A lot of weapons that shoot the puck extremely well. I think the strength of that team is that forward group, and they've got, good players everywhere. But, when you look at their scoring and you look at what they do, very balanced. Three lines that can come at you. They've got that heavy brand. I think Ty's done a really good job, and, some people follow college hockey closely. They got a little out of hand late at Mankato, and then they're down a couple guys for the first game. But I think Ty does a really good job. They play right on that edge. It spilled over a little bit on Saturday, their second game, whichever night that was. But that's not who they are, and that's not who I think Colin is. But that happened, and they're going to be ready to play. They lost a couple of tough games. They were, big games. The top of the series, the top of the league in the WCHA, to go out to Mankato and try to beat them in their building, and they were hyped for that, and they fell short of their goal. So we're going to get a really hungry Bowling Green team, as they typically are anyway. But a forward group that you really have to be aware of, and protect very well defensively, because they can score from a lot of different ways and a lot of different shooters, and a big, big matchup. So we're looking forward to it. It's always a good place to play. It's a loud building. I don't know what their cap is on attendance. When you watch them, they do have some people in the building, so there's a little bit more of an environment than anywhere we've seen so far this year. But typically, it won't be like a normal series there. But our guys are excited to get down there. They know there'll be some parents there and some family around, and going to be a fun series down there. It always is. Hard place to play and a good team, but a big challenge for us.
Yeah, you talked about a couple of guys that they're missing this weekend. Will Cullen, their defenseman, is one of them. He got a 3-game suspension out of that melee at Mankato last weekend, and that's a lot of games for a guy who's fourth on his team in scoring. This is a defenseman, a senior, 5 goals, 12 assists, 17 points. That's 3 more points than Ashton Calder, who leads the Lakers, has this season. Of course, 8 more games, too. But
sure,
Will Cullen's a heck of a hockey player, and that's a big loss for them. And Sam Craggs is out for the game on Friday night. He's a big, tough forward. He'll be back for Saturday night. The guys, they're incredible, though, when you look at their totals. Brandon Cruz, 10 goals, 26 points. Connor Ford's got 11 goals and 22 points. And then you got Cameron Wright with 9 goals and 22 points. Max Johnson. It seems like Max Johnson's been on a team for about 6 years, but he's got 9 goals right now and 16 points. And Alex Barber has 8 goals, 8 assists, 16 points. There's the forwards you're talking about. Throw Cullen right in the middle of it, but they're really a good team.
Yeah, you got the, you know, Gavin Gould, another senior, the Tech transfer. You know, they're an upperclassman dominant team. You know, five or six of the top seven or eight are seniors, and then there's three or four juniors in there. So very experienced. You know, I definitely feel like they're built for this year. And again, they're going to use that setback at Mankato to kind of double down on effort and intensity. And, you know, we're going to be the brunt of that series. You know, same thing. They went to Bemidji 2 weeks prior and lost two really close games at Bemidji. And then, you know, the Tech games, I think they, you know, kind of got back to their scoring ways in their own building. They put up 5-4 or something like that against Michigan Tech. So very dangerous. That forward group is really, really good. They play hard. They're fun to watch. They're well coached. Tremendous power play. And it seems like going down there, there's always a lot of penalties and special teams. You know, we've got to find a way to really play with our poise and composure, stay out of the penalty box, you know, and it's tough because they come at you hard. And they're like I said, they're right on that line, you know, of going over. And it spilled over against Mankato, but they play right on that edge. And so it's really important you play with a lot of composure and poise and don't make it into a special teams game because their power play is so dangerous. And, you know, that'll be a big challenge for us. We want to play 5-on-5 and, you know, limit their opportunities to score. And I think for us, it's going to have to be a little bit more low scoring. We're not going to want to get a shootout 6-5. We're going to want to follow that Bemidji model and win, you know, 2-1, 3-1, and, you know, really limit those top scorers that you kind of brought up.
Yeah, they've got a lot of firepower up front, and, you know, it's easy to say we got to be disciplined and stay out of the penalty box. That's not always your situation. The officiating in this league is not the greatest in the world, and a lot of times you'll be in that box whether you think you should be or not. And if you give them a lot of power plays, they're one of the top teams in the country in power play efficiency, and the Lakers right now are down in eighth place in an eight-team league in power play efficiency. So our penalty kill's very good. We're right in the middle of the pack, 84.4% on the PK, but 8.5% that power play, other than against Northern, has not been good.
Yeah, you mentioned, I thought this past weekend, especially Saturday night, you know, a lot of flow in the game, very few penalties, and that was nice to see. Sunday, you know, they got up there a little bit both sides, you know, with some matching coincidentals and things like that, but both teams ended up with six power play opportunities, and it's just too much. You know, you can't kill that many. We can't use our top guys like Campus and Ashton and those guys in the PK to ask them to kill off six penalties. So no matter who's calling the game, you know, we've got to make sure that discipline and poise is there, and, you know, hope we get some consistency in the way they're calling it. And, you know, again, I liked the past week, and I thought the guys, the crew did a good job. And, you know, hopefully it'll be similar where we know what to expect, and then it's on us to adjust and play the right way.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned it either, but the Bowling Green also has a couple of pretty good goaltenders. Eric Dopp, 2.26 goals against average, a 9.26 save percentage. And Zach Rose, who's the backup, 1.86 goals against average and a 9.14 save percentage. So they're good back there, too. It's not like you're going to trade goals with this team and win 8-6. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, Dobson, not one of those seniors. It seems like he's been there for, you know, and he's had some good goalies in front of him, so he hasn't been a four-year starter, but still, you know, played a very experienced goaltender with a lot of, you know, career games played and experience, and then just another one of those seniors. You know, they've got, seems like 10, 12 seniors that, you know, they've been in some championship games, and then they've been around. So it's a really good team. You know, Ty's done a really good job there to continue what they had going as an assistant coach and now the head coach there. So I like the way they play. I like the way they're built. And, you know, we're going to have our hands full. You know, hopefully the games they played, now they're sitting at 22. Maybe there's a little fatigue starting to sit in from such a robust schedule. And maybe that balances out a little bit off of our break. You know, hopefully we're through that first weekend and we're kind of building back up. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a little bit of, you know, a wash on that maybe they're starting to get a little fatigued to run down with some travel and a lot of games played. But, you know, they're going to come. They come hard. They play the right way. And we're looking forward to this matchup.
Yeah, and they're always good at home, and they have played eight more games than Lake Superior has. You look at your team right now, Ashton Calder leads you with 7 goals and 7 assists for 14 points. And we talked about it at length pregame on Sunday, but that goal he scored with 3 seconds left in overtime on Saturday night was again, you refer back and you go, I wish we had people in the building.
Yeah. Right, all weekend. I mean, you know, what he's doing, you know, having a great year. And, you know, the comebacks both nights, you know, like I said, that the building would have been unbelievable. And the you know, the few people who are in staffing and then things like that, you know, I've gotten some emails and some calls and just say, man, it was such an exciting game. And same thing, they wish there were people here. You know, it's challenging, you know, and it's unfortunate, but you know, I like our bench a lot. I think Coach Isaac talked about it with you post game, maybe that, you know, just confidence and poise. You know, I thought there was a little bit too much distraction on Sunday night where we're, you know, kind of tripping back and forth with the Northern players. You know, there's not panic on our bench, and that's without Kybel, that's without Mitten. You know, our guys stick together. They understand they can come back and score some goals and get us back into it. Now, I hope we stop doing that and we can get back to scoring first. You know, they did a good job sticking together and having a lot of confidence and positivity on the bench, which is really important when the building is, you know, the way it is, and just no atmosphere, no energy with no fans. So your bench has to be good, and our guys have done a really good job with that.
Yeah, we should finish that off too. Lucas Kybel has 9 points right now. All of them are assists. Pete Violette now has 9 points as well. But how about Will Rydell? He has a goal and 3 assists on the weekend. He moves up into second spot on the Lakers in scoring, 3 goals, 8 assists. Great season. We've already talked about him, so we don't need to go into detail, but he's having a great senior year. He's been a great leadership player for this team for a while now. We had him on the air with us last Tuesday, and he's a man. He's a man playing the man's game right now, and he's doing a great job. Yuki Miura's got 2 goals, 8 points, and Miro Muka, 4 goals, 4 assists, 8 points. Those are your top scorers right now.
Yeah, you know, I think it'd be nice to have a little bit more burst in that secondary scoring. You know, we've seen to have, you know, the Diego, the Humans, and Calder this year kind of out in the pack. And so I think we've got to, you know, find a way. You know, Louis Badon has played very well lately, but it just hasn't found the score sheet. You know, Dustin Vance, again, like I thought Dustin had a really good weekend. You know, it just hasn't translated offensively as much as, you know, certainly he would hope or we hope or we need. So, you know, we've got to get some guys breaking out a little bit and then, you know, get that monkey off their backs and then gain some confidence to get playing. But Calder, Rydell, Pete Viet certainly carrying the load, and, you know, to insert Lucas back into it is going to be exciting for us. And Louis, you know, again, the points haven't quite been there, but he's played good hockey and it adds a lot of depth back into our lineup. So we're excited to hopefully get back to full strength again. It'll be close. We'll have to make a decision sometime tomorrow, and we're hopeful those guys will rejoin us.
Yeah, Dustin Manns, to talk a little bit about him, what a face-off man he's become. He's a sophomore. By the time he's a senior, he'll be another Diego Cuglietta, if not even better. Right now, he's fourth in the WCHA in face-offs won, and Sillinger at Bemidji State's number one. In fact, Bemidji State's really a good face-off team. They've got 3 guys in the top 6 in the league in that statistical category.
Yeah, I've done a tremendous job. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. Saturday that I was, you know, not able to come to the game, and so I think the start of the third period, I got stats emailed to me as we're doing in COVID. You know, we're not running stats down and printing them anymore like has been customary for forever. But I'm looking at stats and I see Dustin Manns is 13-1 on faceoffs through 2 periods, and so I'm texting Mike Guggen, the radio down to Zach Isaac to say, hey, for Ozone starts, you know, we got to get Manzi out for some face-offs. He's having a great night. And so Mike Guggen's getting my text message. He's on the headset radioing down to Coach Isaac, who has the earbud in. And, you know, Zach did a good job of getting Manzi some Ozone starts so we could have possession and run some face-off plays. And so it was a great weekend by Dustin. And, you know, one of those COVID challenges, you're trying to, you know, help a little bit or contribute the way we can. So, again, the staff did a great job of preparing us and having a pretty strong weekend, all things considered.
Okay, Damon, good job here tonight. We appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy. You got to get going here. We're going to have Mitch Oliver join us in the final segment of the show. We didn't even talk recruiting this week, but it's old news at this point now anyway. We'll bring that up again next week. But thanks for being here.
Yep, thank you, guys. Have a great night. Excited to listen to Mitch with you guys and appreciate the coverage. Thank you.
All righty, Damon Witten here. He's leaving us. Mitch Oliver will be moving in, and we'll be back with our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show right after this on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
What are the two things most teens should have besides a cell phone? A teen savings account and a teen checking account at Central Savings Bank. Your teen can learn how to save and budget their own money with one or both of these accounts. These accounts come with an ATM debit card with mobile wallet capabilities and access to things like internet banking and mobile banking, all with no monthly service charges. If you have a child 12 years of age or younger, they have accounts for them as well. Stop in any of their 9 locations and ask about the CSB Savers Youth Savings Club accounts. Member FDIC. I see.
What's that?
It's the noise Liam's piggy bank makes when he puts money in it. He has a CSB Savers Youth Savings Club account at Central Savings Bank.
Oh, yeah? I don't have any accounts for either of my boys.
Well, with this type of savings account, Liam gets prizes for deposits, entries for quarterly drawings, and much more. Plus, there are no monthly service charges.
Member FDIC.
Central Savings Bank. What we can do for you.
Fremont Insurance has proudly served Michigan since 1876. For more than 140 years, Fremont Insurance has helped protect what Michigan residents care about most. Since 1999, Don Wilson Insurance and Fremont have been partners, rooted in the promise to provide the best possible service and value to customers, be it your home, auto, or business. Don Wilson Insurance and Fremont Insurance, there to protect what matters most. Don Wilson Insurance, 110 Dawson, in the Sioux, call 635-5600.
It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Got questions for the coach? Tweet them at me, at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford and Damon Witten.
All righty, you got Bill Crawford. You do not have Damon Witten. We got Mitch Oliver joining us, Laker defenseman, junior out of Kelowna, British Columbia. And the first thing I want to ask you, Mr. Oliver, is how do you get to be a fire science major on this hockey team? That's got to be kind of – I think you're the only one that majors in fire science, and that's kind of a demanding you don't miss any practice time, I guess, but it's got to be a little bit different. You're probably going to some face-to-face classes.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of got into it when I was about 18, 19. I started out at a volunteer fire department back home and kind of stuck with it ever since. And then when I came to Lake State, they had the program and I jumped right onto it. And, it's definitely different than, other teammates are taking. But, I love it. Being a first responder is really a big thing in a lot of communities. I look forward to it down the road.
You know, I remember Aiden Wright majored in that when he was with us, captained the Lakers his senior year. He's out of the Canadian Sioux, but that's a great major if you're a Canadian because there's not a lot of training being done in Canada at that level, not college-type training with fire science, and it can lead to a great future for you, and I think that's one of the things you're probably looking at when hockey's done. You could have a heck of a job.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a great future, and you want to have a job that you go to every day and you look forward to doing it. Never mind, how much it pays or what the, benefits are and stuff like that. I'm excited for it down the road when the time comes and really looking forward to it.
Now, you've gotten off to a good start this year. You played 34 games for the Lakers last year but didn't have a goal. You had about 8 or 9 points but no goals. And so far this season, you got 2 power play goals, 2 assists, 4 points in 10 games. That's a little bit better. And I'm sure you're a lot happier with how things are going. And you missed the first few games because you were coming off some surgeries and some injury issues, and you didn't play at the start of the season. And since you've gotten in there, you haven't come out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's good to finally get on the score sheet and get a couple of goals, and it's nice for sure. I'm just trying to shoot the puck, get pucks through is my main job back there, and if they can find a way in, then that's a bonus or get assists too. But I had the surgeries there in the off season, and they kind of pushed me back a bit, but I'm back now and happy to be playing.
Yeah, last season, one of the real highlights for you was that Catamount Cup out in Vermont. You played well. You got named to the all-tournament team. That had to buoy your confidence a bit and help you finish off real strong last year.
Yeah, for sure. I was just focusing on playing my game at that point. And, if I can get a little bonus up top of things with receiving that honor, it's awesome.
Yeah, being out there on that power play on the point, it kind of looks easy maybe sometimes. You got an extra attacker, et cetera. But guys on the point are always trying to find a seam, a shooting lane. That's not always easy. There was a time this past weekend when you tried to sneak one through that bounced off the pads of a northern player and they were gone in the other direction, and that's the danger of that end of things. But usually you manage to find a way to get it through. Will Rydell certainly did on Sunday on that goal with a minute left in regulation to make it a 3-2 hockey game. But that's the role. That's what you got to do. Try to find a way to get that puck to the net.
Yeah, exactly. We talk about it a lot, being the first layer and get the puck down to the net. And if you can beat the goalie, great. If you can't, hopefully there's a rebound and one of our forwards is there to whack it home. But like I said, it's a bonus if it goes in, but the main job is just to get it down there and find a seam and get it through.
Yeah, so far this season, you got one game-winning goal. That was one of the games at Northern where you scored the second goal, I think, in that 4-1 victory. You've had 11 shots on goal so far this season. So, it's been a good start. Has there been anything at all other than all these pauses and this dealing with the pandemic? Is that probably the worst part of this season?
Yeah, it's hard to keep, a roll going when you're off for 2 weeks with pauses and stuff like that. But I mean, everyone's going through the same thing right now. It's trying times, but you got to push through it. You got to stay focused. And we're coming down to the last couple games of the season here, then playoffs. So we got to really stay focused at this point of the year and finish strong.
Yeah, last season we went into Bowling Green. We got beat pretty bad on the Friday night game, but bounced back and got a big win on Saturday. That's the least you want to do this weekend. We want a split at the very least, and that's a tough place to play. You can speak about that.
Yeah, very, very tough place to play. Just the rink itself, it's a smaller sheet, tight boards, not much room behind the net. But a lot of our guys are looking forward to going down there. I think there's going to be some fans in the building, so that'll be the first time this season that we'll be playing in front of a bit of a crowd. I'm not sure how many they're allowing in down there, but there definitely will be some. So I think that'll add a little bit of excitement to it.
How about this past weekend, too? Have you been in a weirder series than that where you're down by two goals late in the game, you come back, tie both of them, you win the first one with 3 seconds left in overtime, and the second one, we had enough good chances in that overtime to win that. Their goaltender comes up big, and then they wind up winning it, and they actually score two goals. One of them's disallowed, and then they score the game winner about a minute later. But really weird games, both of them, and hard-fought games against a UP rival.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not something you kind of preach or you want to do from a coach's standpoint or a team standpoint from playing behind or trailing all game. But I mean, we got to give our team credit too for coming back and pushing hard and tying both games up and then winning the one and losing the one in overtime. But we got to focus on scoring that first goal in the game and then keep playing with the lead. I think that's something that we've talked about and we got to start doing more often.
Yeah, no doubt about it there. We certainly have a lot better luck when we score first than when we try to come from behind. And coming from behind's not easy. It takes an awful lot of work. And I think it says something about this team, though, that you don't give up. There's got to be some vociferous leadership on that bench sometimes.
Yeah, our seniors are great. We've said that from the start of the year. Our bench, we just try to keep calm, keep even keel, and just keep pushing. When you start getting out of control and start taking too many chances and stuff like that, that's when the game can get away from you. But we just try to stay even keel and just keep plugging away and good things will happen.
You know, during this pandemic, we talked to Coach Witten and also to the other coaches and on this show several times about how difficult it can be. Most of our guys live off campus, certainly the upperclassmen do, so you're in apartments, you're in condos, you're in houses all over the Sioux. It gets really tough to try to maintain social distancing. You really got to have some discipline there. How do you guys handle it down at West Pier? How do you handle the not having a big party or having fun or doing whatever you would normally do? Social activity is part of college.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, college and university is supposed to be, you know, the best time of your life. But and obviously, you know, this year, you know, you can't really go and do much and stuff like that. But, I mean, like I said earlier, everyone's going through the same thing. So, you know, I just kind of stick with my roommate, Pete, and, you know, we find things to do. We were locked up here a couple weeks ago, and we're just doing at-home workouts, going for walks outside, stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, it's tough, but, you know, we're finding a way to get through it.
All right, we're talking with Mitch Oliver, Laker junior defenseman out of British Columbia. Played in the BC League. We've got a lot of players who played in the BC League. Were you familiar with a lot of the guys when you came here? Did you play against a lot of guys who are with the Lakers now?
Yeah, I've played with you know, quite a few guys from that league that are on the team now, and I still get you know, people reaching out to me that are currently back in that league and asking how it is and stuff like that. So. Yeah, it's pretty neat how the you know, the hockey world connects from all different areas. But I know I'm happy here at Lake State. It's an awesome place to play, and I'm glad I got recruited out of that league.
Yeah, it's good to have you here too. Now, let's talk for just a second here. One of the things I note when I come into the rink is guys who are psyching up for games in different ways. Some guys stay right in the dressing room and don't come out. Some guys come out and sit on the bench. Mitch Oliver comes out and sits up in the stands right in front of the press box and thinks about what he's got to do that game.
Yeah, that's kind of a, you know, kind of a superstitious thing I have. I sit in the same spot and the same seat number too. So it's kind of just a thing I do. Just kind of visualize, you know, what's going to happen out there and what's going to go on. So, yeah, definitely just a little superstitious thing I have.
Was it difficult not playing the first three, four games this season, whatever it was, and then coming in and trying to fit right into things? It has to be a little bit tough if you're not, you know, there's such a thing as game speed and skating legs and all that sort of thing. You can practice all day, but games are different.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, you know, you can practice as much as you want, but, you know, games are definitely different. But, yeah, I know it was kind of unfortunate not to play the first couple games there due to injury. But, you know, once you get the first couple shifts or period under your belt, I felt, you know, right back to normal. So, but, yeah, I know there was a long break there, but it's good that we're, you know, trying to play some games now.
Okay, Mitch. Well, thanks for doing this here tonight. Good luck this weekend at Bowling Green and the rest of the season. It looks like you're going to have some weeks where you're going to play four, five, six hockey games.
Yeah, we are. You know, we missed four games there, and we don't have near as many games played as other teams. But you know, so we got to play a little catch up here. But you know, that's you know, the times that we're going through right now. So it'll be tough. It'll be challenging. But I think our team will be ready for it.
All righty. Mitch Oliver joining us here on the Laker Hockey Show tonight. Thank you, Mitch. Thanks to Damon Witten earlier in the show. Matt Pocket here engineering us and keeping us on the air. Bill Crawford saying so long till next Tuesday at 5 on ESPN 1400.